not for murderers. You, sir, are a villain for even suggesting as much. He is my fire, the reason for which my heart beats, the—
I hate you so much, Sam, Gary muttered.
Very air that fills my lungs. The sun rising in the morning, the moon rising at night, the reasons there are birds in the sky and flowers in the fields.
Shouldn't have left that pile of stones near my head, motherfucker, I whispered to Gary. Payback. Wild style.
The way the light refracts off a river's surface. The reason golden leaves fall from trees. He is responsible for the sweet breeze of spring and the lovely bite of winter.
Yeah, I said. I don't think he's done any of that. All of it, Gary said. I've done all of that. Biting winter and moon leaves or whatever, I'm pretty much amazing. So you can't leave him unprotected, I said. Someone might steal him away and make him a dancer in a burlesque. Wait, Gary said. You never said there'd be a burlesque involved. Just how big are the production values? How much say would I get to have in the direction of the show? Minimal, I said ominously. To both. Gary whirled on Kevin. You better not even consider leaving me to get kidnapped in some cut-rate high school production of a sex show. I swear to you on all I have, you will never get to sample all of Gary's goods, because the bakery will be closed. And girl, let me tell you, my muffin is delicious. He licked his lips obscenely. Scarred for life, I breathed. This was a very bad idea.
Muffin?
Kevin asked. Delicious. Gary purred.
But...
Kevin sputtered.
My stuff.
We come back for it, I said, trying to get the image of Gary as a large baked good out of my head. Eventually.
Or,
Kevin said,
I can carry Gary with me and make return trips.
Gary don't fly, Gary said, a shimmer of glitter around him. Don't make Gary show you what's up.
All my stuff,
Kevin said mournfully, rubbing his claws over his treasures.
All my pretty, pretty things.
We'll come back, I said, daring to reach out and touch his leg. I promise.
But what if someone steals it?
You mean like you did? I asked.
Yes,
he said, completely oblivious.
Exactly like that.
They won't, I said. You're a god, remember? They wouldn't dare. You'd eat them.
Because this is your god's bacon.
Sure, I said. Why not?
Fine,
he finally grumbled.
But if anyone even thinks of touching my hoard, I will find them and light them on fire, and their children, and their children's children.
This is going to end so well, I sighed.
And their children's children's children.
I thought to leave the next day, but I couldn't take the chance that we'd catch up to Ryan and Justin, so I delayed. I said I wasn't quite ready to leave yet. I said that Kevin needed more time to say goodbye to his possessions. I said Gary needed more time to rest his thighs. I said that Tiggy needed more time to recover from laying waste to Tarkar Mills. They knew what I was doing, but they didn't call me on it. Sure, Sam, they said.
Okay, Sam,
they said. And so, we waited. And on the seventh morning, after Ryan and Justin left, we stood in front of the keep. A dragon, a hornless unicorn, a half-giant, and a broken-hearted wizard's apprentice, who was still kick-ass, but super sad about stupid boys and their fucking faces. And let the adventure begin, I said, trying to sound jubilant. Hooray, Gary said. He did not sound jubilant.
So many brooms,
Tiggy said, carrying one broom.
This sucks,
Kevin muttered, glancing back forlornly at his keep.
the things I do for love.
Lust, Gary said. And we started walking back to Castle Locks and an uncertain future. Toward the unknown. Toward heartbreak and...
Shit, Gary said. I forgot my scarves.
Gary, I said through gritted teeth.
What?
He said, sounding defensive.
You know I can't go anywhere without my scarves.
What of the wind rape? Why were your scarves even out?
We were trying to say which ones could be used to tie him up,
Kevin said.
For sexual things. Spoiler, it was all of them.
Oh my god, I gagged. Stop it, go get your fucking scarves.
I'll go.
Kevin cried joyously, already turning around. You stay right where you are, I snapped. You just want to go back and look at your treasures. Kevin pouted and refused to look at me. Tiggy, I said, trying to keep my voice even. Would you go get Gary's scarves, please?
Take my broom?
Yes, you can take your broom.
Take my broom,
he said. 6 minutes later. And the adventures begin, I said, and took a step. Tiggy, Gary said. Tiggy, dear, did you repack your pajamas? Tiggy hung his head.
No, I forgot.
For the love of fuck! No need for that kind of language, Gary sniffed. It's unbecoming on a lady of your station. Gah!
I'll get them,
Kevin said, as he stomped toward the keep. 3 hours and 46 minutes later.
But it's all my stuff. You don't understand.
I will leave your ass here, I threatened. Sam's just upset because he doesn't have... Gary, you do not want to finish that sentence. Scarves or pajamas or brooms or piles of gold. Gary finished anyway. What? I've told you. You're not intimidating. I've slept near you while you've had wet dreams. That sort of takes away any fear you might have engendered in me. Especially when it sounded like you were muttering about being spit-roasted.
Really?
Kevin said gleefully.
I'm sure we can work something out.
And the adventure begins! I roared. They were quiet as we walked out of the valley. It felt good. Then, so, Kevin... Have you ever played I Spy?
No, my sweet love drop. But I assume we role-play spies. Go on dangerous missions until we double-cross each other. Sexually.
This was going to be the longest trip of my life. Fifth day on the road. What do you mean everyone knew? I said incredulously. Exactly that, Gary said. Everyone knew that you were in love with Ryan, and Ryan was in love with you. Everyone, Sam, literally everyone. That's not true. And he doesn't love me. It was easier to convince myself of that than know the truth. You two couldn't have been more obvious if you had made signs and hung them around your neck that said, have heart forever. Mom didn't know. Yes, she did. Dad didn't. Yeah, he did. Kevin didn't.
Yes, I did. You sighed when he rolled up on Gary, like full-on dreamy sigh.
Sam, Gary said, everyone knew. Random strangers, dark wizards, gay fairies, drag queens, bards, elves, townspeople, cults, everyone. Everyone. I'll be honest, I said. That's rather embarrassing. And also, so many remarks make much more sense now. I really need to be more aware of my surroundings. And then I walked into a large boulder. Oh, honey. Gary didn't miss a beat. It was embarrassing for all of us. The ninth night. I just didn't understand, you know. I slurred. I reached down and knocked back the rest of my wine. The tavern was loud around us. You want to be with someone? So why not just be with them? I mean, seriously, right? Come on, just be, you know? I mean, there's ways to be stuff. Together, I don't even know, you know? And then the corn told us the truth, and I was like, just there, man. I was just there. I don't know. Refill, barkeep. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Hey, all right. No, don't be stingy. Fill it all the way up. That's nice. Keep the tab flowing. Or open. Whatever. Words are hard. This wine is good. Wine? Get in my mouth, wine. I'm whining and whining. What was I saying? Oh, right. You know? So he was all like, I love you, babe, but I promised my dick to the stupid fucking prince. And I was all like, shoot, girl, I don't even need you. I got this. I'm my own man. You know? And he was all like, but, babe, you make me feel so alive. I'm not dashing or immaculate. But, babe, I'm not dashing or awesome without you. And I was all like, shoot, girl, shut up. You know? I don't know. And we're going to go back to the castle and they'll be wedding each other. And I'll have to be there. Who does that? You know, like, who does that? Jerks is who does that. That's who jerks. And I have to be in the wedding, you know? They'll all be happy and stupid and I'll be like, holy crap, I love this song. Play it louder, play it louder. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Don't you feel like dancing? I do. Not like waltz dancing, because that's just stupid. Even if it's three times, you know? Waltzing for three times with a single person means nothing. I did it twice with Todd, and he had these ears that were just... you know? And so what if I accidentally gave him a hand job? So what? I bet I give good hand jobs. I don't have any complaints about the hand jobs that I do to myself. In fact, I would so far as to say they're pretty darn good, you know? The right amount of grip and everything. And when I'm done, you know what I do when I'm done? I thank myself because I am a considerate lover, okay? You know? I'm nice when I finish. I tell myself how good it was for me. Didn't I think so? Barkeep, fill me up. Just leave the bottle. It's easier. Where was I? Oh, right. So I didn't even want to go to the Ryan Stupid Heart Fucker Fan Fucking Club meeting to begin with, you know? I went because I was just checking to make sure there were no spies or whatever. No one to infiltrate the castle or whatever. Tina, man. Tina wouldn't infiltrate the castle, you know? Because she's just... gods. She thinks my muffins are dry as my consternation or whatever. My muffins aren't fucking dry, Tina, you know? That's what I say to her. And she's all like, Mervin, she said. She goes, Mervin, you make me mad because you're all witty and awesome and so fucking cool. And I'm not because I'm a teenage bitch who wants to play with Ryan's dong or whatever. You know? I mean, who does that? Right? Who does that? Sorry. What's your name again? The elderly woman I was talking to stared at me.
You just sat here and started talking and never asked me for my name.
Oh, that's cool. Or whatever. Your name's not Ryan, is it? Because that would fucking suck.
No, my name is, Betty.
Betty? Betty. Hey. Hey, barkeep. Get my friend Betty here another drink, would you? She's my friend, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Betty whispered. It's cool, I told her loudly. They know me. I come here all the time. I leaned over to her and whispered, I've never been here before. They have no idea who I am. And then I winked at her. Gods, I said, trying to keep my eyes from crossing. You're cute for a lady who's older and a lady. Like a sexy grandma. Do you want to go? I don't know. Play cards or something? Like braid hair and shit? I don't know, you know?
No,
Betty said.
No, I just want to eat my dinner, but you're leaning in it with your elbows.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, it's Betty. Betty. I'm so sorry. I'm so... Are you eating pasta?
I was, trying to.
And my elbows are in it?
Yes.
So would you say it's elbow macaroni?
No, it's, spaghetti. So it'd be elbow spaghetti?
That's not a thing, I told her. Elbow spaghetti. What even... Gods, you're so weird. I'm going to go to sleep. Thank you for inviting me to your birthday party. Bye. And then I passed out. The 10th morning. Oh, my gods. I moaned as I dragged my feet down the road. Kill me now. Or kill the sun, I don't care which. Someone learned a lesson last night, Gary said, sounding way too chipper while I was obviously dying.
Was that before or after he woke up in a bowl of noodles?
Kevin asked, like a jerk.
Spaghetti face,
Tiggy cried.
Wizard spaghetti face.
He capitalized it, Gary said. Now it's forever. That's a stupid fucking rule, I grumbled. The 13th night. So, Gary said, Kevin and I need to go into the forest for food. I stared at the both of them. For food. Like berries or something. Berries, I repeated.
Yes,
Kevin said.
So we can have fruit for breakfast.
Berries. Forest berries, Gary said. From the forest. Fine, I said. I'll take the first watch. Don't take too long. An hour later, things got gross. I was lying by the fire listening to Tiggy snore next to me and watching the stars above when I heard it echoing through the trees. At first, I thought it sounded like a ghost eating feral cats. And then I thought it might have been monkeys fighting with peeled wet oranges. But then I heard, "Oh, Kevin, oh my fucking gods, how long is your tongue? Ooh, Kevin, oh my fucking gods, how long is your tongue?" And I said, "Nope, nope, 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 nope. Oh, my love, you taste like the finest ambrosia. I want to drink you down my throat." I threw up a little in my mouth. "How can you even bend like that?"
"Gary, Gary, you make me feel alive, and I want to do things to your anus."
"Please make this just be a nightmare," I whispered. "I'm begging you." "You can do anything to my anus."
"Who's been a bad unicorn? Have you been a bad unicorn?"
"Please say no," I said. "Please say no."
"Yes, yes, I've been such a bad unicorn."
"Why?" I moaned as I pulled my blanket over my head.
"Bad unicorns get punished. Did you know that?"
"Yes, yes, I knew."
"Yes, what?"
"Huh? Yes, what?
"No, you're supposed to say, yes, sir."
"Oh, we're really going there?"
"Don't go there," I muttered, rocking back and forth. "Don't go there."
"Well, yeah, if you've been a bad unicorn, that's kind of the rules."
"Whose rules?"
"Kevin's rules for a good bout of fucking."
"He shouldn't follow those rules," I told a sleeping Tiggy.
"Oh, okay. I guess I can do that. It's been a while. My safe word is Muriel. My word to give me a moment to breathe is fondue. My word to keep on going because everything is amazing is Sam." "Oh, come on," I said into my hands. Monkeys renewed their wet orange fight with feral cat-eating ghosts.
"Who is my bad unicorn? Who is my bad unicorn?"
"I am, sir. I am your bad unicorn. Spank me with your mouth."
"Is this okay? Does this feel good?"
"Sam! Sam!
I'm so Sam right now. This is not okay, I cried. Nothing about this is okay. Tiggy continued to snore.
You naughty unicorn. I'm going to have to teach you a lesson in respect.
Make me respect you so hard, Sam. I am Sam, 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 Sam. I am... What is that? Is that your penis? Holy mother of the gods. I don't know if that is going to fit in me. Cheesy dicks and candlesticks and everything you need, I tried to sing. It came out broken and sounded like I was dying. Because I was.
Oh, thank you, my heart. It's always affirming when someone tells you your cock is bigger than anything they've ever seen.
I didn't quite say it like that, sir. Ooh, I didn't even know you could do that. I am so fucking Sam right now. I am the Sammiest I have ever been. Sammy all you want, you dirty bastard. It went on for another 4 hours. The 14th morning.
Berries?
Tiggy asked as he looked down at his oatmeal. We couldn't find any, Gary said.
We looked long and hard,
Kevin said.
Very long and very hard.
I let out a wail because why did this have to happen to me?
Sam, Gary asked. You okay? You look clammy. I've heard things, I whispered, clutching my hands at my chest. I've heard things. What things?
Things,
I breathed. Oh, Gary said, sharing a fond look with Kevin. I see what this is.
Sam?
Kevin said.
We should talk about this, okay, buddy?
No, I said. Never. Sam, Gary said gently, you see, when a dragon loves a unicorn, they have a special hug they do in the forest.
And sometimes,
Kevin said, rubbing my back with his claws,
the dragon likes to lick the unicorn's asshole until he...
I ran screaming down the road. The 19th day. And a further thing, I said as we walked down the old road, I don't even care about him that much anyway.
Uh-huh,
Gary said. Right? It's not like I actually developed real feelings for him or anything. It was just an infatuation that I can so easily get over. It didn't matter. It was never a thing.
Right, Gary said. Get over. Like you've been saying. For the last 3 hours.
Because I don't need a man to define me, I said. I am a strong, independent wizard. I'll be my own cornerstone.
Don't need no mans,
Tiggy said. Exactly, I said. I don't. I have my boys with me, and we're going to go on adventures and do cool shit like fight manticores and discover caves and eat disgusting regional delicacies because I'm young and hung and full of magic.
Sam, Gary said kindly, I understand what you're saying. I really do. But let me give you some advice from the perspective of someone in a long-term relationship.
You've been together for 5 days.
Hey, buddy,
Kevin said.
Just listen to him, okay? We both just want to make sure you don't make any rash decisions.
I'm not. I'm grown up, and every decision I make is the right one because I'm making it based upon the feelings in my chest and brain.
Kids, Gary said, shaking his head. They want to grow up so fast.
Remember when he was younger?
Kevin said with a warm chuckle.
He was at my keep and kept saying things like, you can't take any of your stuff that's obviously important to you, because what I say goes and I'm a giant dick-brained motherfucker.
I'm pretty sure I never said that. I told them, but they ignored me. And we were at your keep 2 weeks ago.
Pretty soon, he's going to want to go off on his own, Gary said, sounding upset.
Oh, Kevin, what are we going to do when he's ready to leave?
What is even happening right now?
Shh, Kevin said to Gary. brushing their snouts together.
It's okay. You've been such a good mother to him. You'll see. He'll do good things. And if he doesn't, we'll be there to pick up the pieces, because that's what parents do.
Gary started crying and pushed his face against mine. You listen to me, okay? He said, sniffing loudly in my ear. You follow your heart, because one day it'll lead you home. You've been such a good son. Did you guys get high? I asked them. Like super freaking high? Gary began to cry in earnest as Kevin rumbled low and licked the side of my face. Tiggy! I yelled. Help me! They've gone crazy! Save me! Tiggy looked conflicted as Gary sobbed in my ear, and Kevin stroked his back and murmured soothing things to him.
We sad?
Tiggy asked.
No! Yes! Gary wailed. Sam is growing up, and he's going to move out and have orgies and do drugs, and it'll be all my fault!
Then Tiggy started crying and hugging me, begging me not to have orgies and do drugs.
No, Sam,
he said, wiping his face on mine.
No mushrooms and gangbangs.
People on the old road gave us a wide berth as they passed us by, no matter how much I pleaded with them to rescue me. The 23rd morning. I was a good distance into the dark woods, trying to find a spot to take a leak where I wouldn't be able to hear Gary and Kevin talking about how they were planning on adopting at least 4 Pomeranians. I thought I'd found the perfect tree and was giving good consideration to potentially rubbing one out after I pissed, when it happened.
Aha! The dark wizard shouted as he jumped out from behind the tree. I bet you weren't expecting to see me.
I said, I don't know who you are. There went that erection. Gods. Was that too much to ask for a little Sam time? The Dark looked slightly offended.
Seriously?
Sorry, I said. You all look the same to me.
Rude,
he said.
That's racist.
No, it's not. You and I are the same race. If you were to ride a unicorn, that's racism.
How is that racist?
He said. Because it's mean, I explained.
But that's not even the basis for...
He cut himself off and took a deep breath.
You know what? No, I've heard about you. You start talking and everyone gets confused and people start wanting to have sex with you and get turned into deck chairs.
I sighed. It was supposed to be lawn chairs. And I think the stories about me are greatly exaggerated.
So did you or did you not take down 4 of my brothers in the City of Locks?
Oh, well, that part was true.
And did you or did you not send a pack of fire geckos after 2 more of my brothers?
Yeah, that was me.
And did you or did you not kill Lot in the Darkleaf?
No, I said. I didn't.
What?
He said. I didn't kill him.
You did?
He insisted. No, I didn't.
Then who did?
My half-giant best friend.
Oh,
he said.
Well, same difference.
Sort of, I guess.
My name is...
Don't care, I said. He glared at me.
Don't be rude.
I sighed. Sorry, go ahead.
My name is Juan, the Dark Hunter,
he said, squaring his shoulders. I waited. He looked at me, clearly expecting a reaction. I waited some more.
So, he said, that name should have inspired fear in you. You don't look very fearful.
I shrugged. I don't know who you are. And I didn't. I'd never seen him before, or heard his name. I thought he was probably a few years older than me. He was handsome, in a devilish way. His dark goatee trimmed perfectly. Nary a hair out of place. He had tattoos on his arms, and I recognized dark marks, signifying he was at a higher level than the other darks I'd faced. That was okay with me.
Seriously?
He said.
Never heard of me?
Nope.
That sucks, he said. I thought I was really making a name for myself.
What can you do? Juan rolled his eyes.
Of course you say it like that. Everyone knows who you are.
That's not my fault, I said. My mom says it's my face.
What does that mean?
I guess I just have one of those faces.
So you're saying that my face isn't good enough?
No, I said. You're really cute. And he was. Too bad he was evil. He flushed.
Shut up. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. I like your goatee. It's very trimmed.
Thanks,
he said, preening a bit.
I grew it myself.
Then he winced.
Wow, that sounded awkward.
It was pretty awkward. I agreed. Adorable, though.
Well, this has been just lovely. Maybe we could...
He closed his eyes, took a breath, opened his eyes again.
How in the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, I don't really know. Weird, right?
People fear me,
he said. I don't.
Most do.
Oh, I said. That's cool. So, like, are you going to monologue? His eyes narrowed.
Monologue.
Villains tend to broadcast their plans and reasons when they capture me.
I haven't captured you yet.
Fair point, I said. Are you going to try?
Lawton was my friend,
he said, fingers twitching. I could feel his magic gathering. Really? I said, arching an eyebrow. That guy, man. What was his deal? All you darks seem to be all up in his shit.
He was nice, but he liked to hug for too long before his hands started to wander,
Juan said.
He was one of the first darks.
His father didn't... Oh, no.
What?
I just realized I don't care. Are you done yet? You said you weren't going to monologue.
I'm not!
It's still monologuing when you do it on someone else's behalf, I explained.
How has no one killed you yet?
He asked, sounding incredulous.
I've only known you for 5 minutes, and I want to murder you.
Rude, I said. Don't lie. You want some of this. He flushed again. Ha, I said. No thanks.
Honestly,
he said,
all you do is talk. I don't see where the big deal is. You may not know me, but I've got the backing of the Dark Wizards of the Dark Woods. Those that know me fear my name. I am a hunter, and you are the hunted. Your head will be mine.
I am a hunter, and you are the hunted, I mocked. Gods, that was just awful.
Hey,
Juan said.
That's rude. I worked hard on that.
Well, yeah, but it's so cliche.
You don't mess with classics, I guess.
The darks, right, I said. That's what you have?
Yes,
he said, eyes flashing. Guess what I have, I said, smiling at him.
What?
A dragon. I snapped and said, Kevin, now! I grinned and prepared for my friends, who were obviously listening in and waiting for me to give an awesome new catchphrase that I did like a boss, to burst through the trees and stand united against the dark. Kevin would roar and fire would burst from between his teeth. Tiggy would smash his fists together, and Gary would be shining in so much fucking glitter. It was going to be awesome. And so, of course, nothing happened. Juan looked at me warily.
What?
Sorry, I said. Probably just a delay. Give it a minute. We gave it a minute. Still nothing. Let's try it again, I suggested.
Try what?
The whole I have a dragon thing, I said. It'll work this time.
You have a dragon?
Juan said, sounding dubious. Yeah, I said. Well, sort of. I think he's trying to be my dad now, which is weird.
What?
I know, right? I looked over my shoulder. Absolutely nothing. So blah, blah, blah. Guess what I have?
A dragon!
My voice echoed in the trees. Nothing. For real? I muttered. Gods, those assholes. I looked back at Juan. Hold on just a second, okay? If he doesn't come, we can duel to the death or whatever.
You're so weird,
he said. I grinned. Thanks. Then, Kevin!
Yeah?
He finally called back through the trees. Can you come here, please?
Kind of busy, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, because you aren't even my real dad. Sam? Gary called out. That was mean. Say you're sorry.
No!
Don't make me come over there,
Gary warned.
Gary, it's fine,
Kevin said.
He just needs time to adjust.
Sorry about this, I told Juan. They have been in a monogamous relationship for 9 days, and apparently two magical creatures together like that suddenly start acting like lesbian albatrosses and mate for life or something.
Lesbian albatrosses,
Juan repeated. You know the birds. Notorious for monogamy and life partners. Like lesbians. I don't know. My life, right? Juan said.
How are you even a real person?
I shrugged and said, my parents boned and then I came out. How is anyone a real person? Boning.
Kevin, get your ass over here!
Gods, I heard Gary complain loudly. It's like puberty with him all over again.
We'll get through it,
Kevin rumbled, and I finally heard them start moving into the woods.
He can't be a dick to us for long. I'll tan his hide and maybe suck on his cock a little.
So gross, I muttered. I looked up at Juan. Don't listen to him. He's not my dad, and he doesn't blow me.
I don't even know what to think,
Juan said. I sighed. I get that a lot. Okay, get ready.
For what?
The whole catchphrase and awesome entrance thing. I'm not going to waste it just because Kevin is an asshole.
I heard that.
You were meant to, I called back.
Why is the ground shaking?
Juan asked.
And why does it sound like trees are breaking?
Don't worry about it, I said. Just be ready to do your line.
I think I'm going to go,
Juan said, eyes wide. Oh, come on, I said. Don't be like that.
No, it's okay,
he said.
I'm sorry I wasted your time. Please don't hurt me.
I rolled my eyes. You darks are a bunch of pussies, I said, and he snarled at me.
You really want to mess with the powers of the dark,
he growled. Wow, I said. That was actually ominous and cool. I'm into this. Okay. I popped my neck and took a stance. I glared at him, curling my lip.
You may be the dark, but I am the apprentice to Morgan of Shadows. I am Sam of Wilds, and I will kick your fucking ass.
And then a breeze came and my clothes started billowing. It was amazing.
I suppose we can do this,
Juan said, raising his hands. Yeah, I said. Well, I've got a dragon. Damn it. That didn't sound right. What the fuck, Juan? You had one job. Or you had one job? Awesome. Then Kevin, Gary, and Tiggy came up from behind me, and Juan screamed in such a way that he totally lost all his goatee cool points. He turned and ran farther into the woods. I shook my head. What was that all about? Gary asked. You guys need to work on your timing, I said. Never again. I had the perfect setup with a cool line and a whole lot of epicness going on with the billowing, and you all just killed it. I stalked away from them, muttering about how the help was never prepared when I needed them to be. The 25th day sucked because I missed Ryan something awful. Gary and Tiggy held me close as Kevin kept watch. My heart was hurting. The 26th day, I was angry. The 26th night, I was hurt and angry and made a really stupid decision. The 30th day found me back in Meridian City. I left Gary, Tiggy, and Kevin on the outskirts. We'd passed through Old Clearing, and sure enough, the missing people had returned, telling stories of being kidnapped by a ruthless cult and fed more corn than they'd ever eaten in their lives. Of course, once they saw Kevin, they started shrieking, sure he was back to eat them this time. He assured them he would never do such a thing, that it went against his code and his stomach. But this only proceeded to freak everyone out more because dragons weren't supposed to talk. We left Old Clearing rather quickly after that. Not a huge loss, really. But I made sure we stopped in Meridian City. Gary had asked me if I was sure, as if he knew what my plan was. Instead of answering, I told him I wouldn't be long. Sure, he'd said sadly. And that's how I found myself once again standing in front of the tilted cross, Mama's medallion in my hand, smiling quietly at the bouncer at the front. It wasn't the same one as last time, but that was okay. He saw the medallion, nodded once, and opened the door for me. There was a beautiful woman at the front desk, one that I'd never seen before. But she knew who I was from the way her eyes widened slightly before she smiled wickedly.
"Welcome to Mama's,"
she all but purred. I said, "I need to see Moisha." The smile faded slightly.
"Oh? Conversation?"
I cocked my head at her. "Services."
I don't know if he does that anymore.
Well, he will if he knows it's me.
Will he now?
Magic has a taste, I said, leaning closer to her. She shuddered slightly as my breath fell on her cheek.
Or so he says.
He wants it on his tongue, and I aim to give it to him.
The great Sam of Wilds. How lucky he must be.
She nodded and took a step back.
It'll be just a moment.
She was up the stairs and out of sight before I could say anything more. Mama's boys whispered quietly to one another as they watched me. Undoubtedly, they'd overheard my conversation with the girl. They knew of Moisha's fascination with me. It was not a love thing, or even a like thing. It was, for lack of a better word, about lust. Though I didn't think it was for me personally. If Ryan had a magic kink, then Moisha had a power kink. I had both in spades. What better way to destroy my virginity than with someone who wanted what I had? Or at least that was the plan. Of course, it was never that easy.
"You foolish, foolish boy,"
Mama growled from behind me. I rolled my eyes and turned around. "Figured you'd get here first." She looked beautiful, as always. A long onyx wig fell around her shoulders and back. Coal-lined eyes, smoky and thick. Deep red lipstick, sticky and sweet. Her nails were short and black. The illusion of breasts cinched tight in a black and red corset. She wore knee-high riding boots over skin-tight silk leggings. She held a crop in one hand, smacking the leather against her other. She looked like she was going horseback riding. Sexy horseback riding. She jerked the end of the crop under my chin, forcing me to look up into her eyes. The leather scraped against my skin.
"What are you doing here, Sam?"
"I didn't ask for you."
"No, you didn't. But this is my establishment, and you should know better than anyone that whatever happens under this roof, Mama knows. Now, I'll ask one more time, because we're friends, and I love you very much. You will answer me truthfully, or I'll tan your hide in front of my boys, and you will like it."
She dropped the crop from my face and reached out with a large hand, grabbing me by the wrist. She pulled me into a room where two twinks were sitting in front of a mirror, applying blush to their cheeks.
"Babies,"
she said, voice soft and kind.
"Mama needs the room. You can use the mirror at the end of the hall to finish up."
Yes, Mama, they both said, eyeing me curiously before leaving. Mama closed the door behind them. "That's how rumors start," I told her. "They're going to tell everyone you become a working girl again."
"Oh," she said, "like I would actually charge you for anything."
I grinned at her as I leaned against the wall, crossing my arms over my chest. "You love me."
"I do. Though I'm having a difficult time remembering why just now."
She sat on the recently vacated stool in front of the mirror and looked at her reflection. She brought a perfectly manicured pinky up and brushed it across her lips, brushing away a flake of lipstick. "Mama, it's not..."
"Cut the bullshit, Sam."
Her eyes found mine in the mirror's reflection.
"Fine. I could do that.
I'm here for Moisha."
"I gathered as much when Natasha came into my office and told me."
"Natasha has a big fucking mouth," I muttered.
Where is your knight?
She asked. He's not my knight. Mama rolled her eyes elegantly, because she could be no other way.
Hogwash and poppycock, that. He belongs to you more than he belongs to anyone else. He is your cornerstone, after all.
I narrowed my eyes.
And just how the hell did you know that?
She picked up a makeup brush from the vanity and brushed it under her eyes.
Didn't know for sure until right this moment. I suspected, but confirmation is always better.
How do you know what a cornerstone is? She laughed.
Precious, I'm Mama. I know everything.
Then you'll know he swore an oath to the prince, I said. An oath that binds him into marriage. She sighed.
No, I didn't know that.
It doesn't matter. I rescued Justin, now have a pet dragon father who licks Gary's butthole, and will be forced to attend the wedding of the century. I grimaced. You know, I usually don't complain this much.
A pet dragon father,
she said, lips twitching. Yeah, apparently I can talk to dragons. Or rather, dragons can speak Varanian if I'm near. Magic is the shit, you know?
If I didn't have the tilted cross to worry about, I'd be following you wherever you went, she said. The things you've seen and done fill my cold, crusty heart with adoration and envy.
There's nothing cold and crusty about you, I said dutifully. And because there wasn't.
I suppose not, she said. The gods know I'm not getting any younger.
And notice how polite I'm being by not asking the lady her age, even if she's given me an obvious in. She gave me a shark smile.
How lucky you have practiced restraint. I'd hate to see what you'd look like without testicles.
And so because I loved her, I told her everything. About the cornerstone business, about Ryan, about being force-fed coercion through corn, about cults and fairies and rescuing princes from ancient keeps. By the time I finished, my voice was hoarse and my heart was sore. She was quiet for a time, then...
Drowning in someone's skin will not help you forget the other.
I shrugged. At least I'll feel wanted. She turned to me then and stood. She reached out for me, her hands cupping my face, and I leaned against her touch. Regardless of how ruthless she could be, regardless of her own claims of being cold-hearted, she was still Mama to me. My fairy drag mother. The woman who had taught me to trust myself and my instincts. Morgan could teach me magic. My parents could teach me morals. Gary and Tiggy could teach me brotherhood. But Mama taught me that while life had sharp edges, it would only cut you if you allowed it to. She said,
You are wanted. The heart that beats in your chest is the most wonderful thing I've ever been witness to. It hurts, precious. I know it does. But like all things, it shall pass, and you will be all that much stronger because of it.
I hugged her then. She made a surprised noise at the back of her throat, as this wasn't something she typically did with anyone. But I was a hugger, and she was my friend. Her arms came around me tentatively, her hands clasping at my back. She smelled of vanilla and clove. It was lovely. She laughed after a time. Moments later, there was a knock at the door. I opened it. Moisha looked me up and down.
Wizard,
he said, his voice full of sex and magic.
I heard you ask for me. How may I be of service?
I grabbed him by the collar and pulled him into the room, slamming the door behind us. Later, I walked through Meridian City toward the gates. I passed by a newsboy shouting out the headlines.
The good king announces royal wedding imminent. Prince Justin to wed Knight Commander Ryan Fuxard in a month's time. Read about it here first. The wedding of the century is upon us. Read about it here first. The wedding of the century is upon us.
Chapter 26. Homecoming. I wasn't surprised to find Morgan of Shadows waiting for us a mile outside of the City of Locks, even though I hadn't spoken to him in days. The traffic on the old road had gotten heavier as we approached the city, and people continued to give us a wide berth, eyeing Kevin warily as he smiled at them, showing way too many teeth for anyone to feel comfortable around him. One minute, I was fighting the urge to run for the city gates that I could see on the horizon, and the next, I felt a wave of peace wash over me. I took a stuttering step, stopped, took a breath, let it out slowly. The crowd parted before us, and there he stood. Maybe I should have been embarrassed by my actions. Maybe I should have shown the slightest bit of decorum. I was the apprentice to the king's wizard, after all. But fuck that. I hadn't seen my mentor in almost 3 months. I'd faced things I'd never seen before. I'd been loved and broken. I'd eaten a shitload of corn laced with a truth serum. So I don't know that I can be blamed for running full speed at him. I don't know that I can be blamed for the way my eyes burned when he smiled widely and opened his arms. I don't know that I can be blamed for the sound I made, the broken, wounded noise that crawled out of my throat when his arms wrapped around me. I felt his magic wash over me. And for the first time in weeks, I thought I was able to breathe. I let my forehead rest in the crook of his neck as he held me tightly. He said,
"I know."
Because he did. He knew. He'd missed me as much as I'd missed him. This was the man who had rescued me from the slums with his pink shoes and exploding nipples. The man who had allowed my parents to follow us to the castle. The man who saw fit to give us a better life than our station dictated. But most of all, he knew because he was my friend, one of my very first. He knew how much I was hurting. He knew what it had cost me. He said,
"I am so very happy to have you home."
I nodded against his neck, not trusting myself yet to speak. He said,
"Your parents will be so thrilled. They have missed you so."
He said,
"The king will never let you out of his sight again."
He said,
"You've gone into the wilds and brought back a dragon." "How unexpected. And how so very like you."
He said,
"Hush, little one. Don't be sad."
He said,
"I know, Sam, I know, but you must listen."
He said,
"The prince and Ryan arrived home 2 weeks ago."
He said,
"They returned without incident on horseback to make up time on the road home."
He said,
"Justin requested the wedding happen immediately."
He said,
"The king wanted to wait for you."
He said,
"The prince agreed, but only just."
He said,
"So I must ask of you the hardest task I've laid at your feet. You must be brave and strong and stand by my side at the wedding. You must honor your future king and the choices made, though your heart may be breaking. But you will never stand alone, because I will always be at your side. And once this impossible task I have asked of you is complete, I will take you away, and we will see what we see."
He pushed my head up with his kind hands and brushed the tears from my cheeks with his thumbs. His eyes were warm, and I could see the love he felt for me on his face. And I love this man, too. More than I could say. Morgan of Shadows said,
"Can you do this, Sam of Wilds?"
And I said, "Yes," even though it felt like a lie. He kissed my forehead, and I was home. They gave us our moments, but as soon as I regained my composure, Tiggy and Gary bounded up, prancing around Morgan. He chuckled and hugged them both.
"I missed you, tiny wizard,"
Tiggy said, rubbing his face in Morgan's beard. It'll be nice to have intelligent conversation again, Gary said. It's been difficult being the only intellectual amongst this group for weeks on end. I rolled my eyes. Because that's a real thing.
It is,
he insisted. I am way smart, and you guys are dumb. It made me dumber because of it. No, you're dumb. And Tiggy and I elevate you back to the level that could be considered functional.
I help,
Tiggy agreed. Gary huffed.
I don't even know why I try with you two.
It's obvious my breeding and social standing are far above your own, and therefore I shouldn't even be associating with the two of you. Gods know I do. You're welcome.
What are you grinning at? I asked Morgan, who stood beside us, eyes closed, looking more serene than I'd ever seen him before.
The noise,
he said, opening his eyes.
How I have missed the endless noise.
I'm taking that as a compliment, I decided. You should, Gary said. You don't get many of those.
I have brooms,
Tiggy said proudly.
Oh, look,
a high-pitched voice rumbled.
There's a dragon. People should pay attention to him, too. Like stupid wizards and unicorn sexual partners and half-giants who steal my brooms.
I rolled my eyes and looked back at Kevin, who was staring at me innocently.
I don't know who said that,
Kevin said.
It wasn't me.
Morgan, I said, this is the dragon, Kevin.
Sam,
Kevin hissed.
You're not doing it right. You promised.
I'm not saying it.
Sam!
Ugh! Fine. Morgan, may I present to you the fearsome beast from the east, the great creature who had a religion built up around him until he ate the leader, his holy dragoness, Kevin! Kevin posed, wings spread, looking fierce. The crowd that had started to gather around him said,
ooh.
We practiced that for 2 days, I muttered. 2 days.
Shh,
Kevin said.
Let them bask in me. You have found another one,
Morgan said in awe.
That is exactly like the rest of you. How in the name of the gods do you do that?
Like the rest of us? I echoed. Bitch, please. I am my own man. I am an individual. Singular, Gary agreed. Unique like a summer storm rolling over snow-capped mountains.
My broom is my favorite,
Tiggy said.
It is my broom, and I love it.
Bask in me,
Kevin breathed.
Bask. You're right,
Morgan said dryly.
Absolutely nothing alike. I don't know what I was thinking.
Are you done yet? I asked Kevin. You have to meet Morgan before he gets grumbly. He doesn't like being in sunshine too long.
I don't get grumbly,
he grumbled.
And I like my skin free of wrinkles.
A few decades past worrying about that, I pointed out, because I could and he needed it. He'd probably gotten very full of himself while I was gone. I couldn't let that happen.
I am so happy you're back,
he said flatly.
Really?
I know, I said. I love you, boo. Kevin, stop posing and get down here.
But they're basking.
I rolled my eyes. I never should have told you about the cult.
People make religions about me,
he announced to everyone.
You may do the same.
They all said. Kevin!
Gods,
he muttered.
Gary, control your child.
My child? Oh, when he does something good, he's our child. But when he starts acting like a whiny bitch, suddenly he's my child. Let me tell you something. This is a thing now, I told Morgan. Somehow they got together and are convinced I am their child.
I think I've finally reached the point where I no longer ask questions,
Morgan said, looking up at Kevin.
I officially just go with the flow now.
Dude, I said. Right on. That makes my life easier.
Sam, nothing about your life is easy.
Right, but I have a talking dragon, so... And Morgan just went with the flow. I told myself I was going to stroll triumphantly through the gates, my head held high because that was the only thing I could do. If Justin and Ryan were going to be waiting with everyone else at the castle, then I wanted to make sure they saw me standing strong, even if I didn't exactly feel it. I hoped they were far too busy planning a wedding to have time to stand around and wait for me to come home with the others. But, knowing my luck, Justin would have them standing there, front and center. To say people gawked at us as we walked up the cobbled streets of the City of Locks is an understatement. Morgan told me the rumors of our quest were bordering on the ridiculous. Everything from me single-handedly battling a cult of darks to taking down an army of dragons after I'd lost both legs and my right arm. How do they even think I got around something like that?
Very carefully.
Of course, no one really expected a dragon to return with us, especially one that had very recently kidnapped the Prince of Varenya. Suffice it to say, people were curious and lined the streets as we made our way through two castle locks.
Everyone is staring at me,
Kevin muttered.
I'm famous.
Okay, I said. Sure, why not? He lifted his head, his wings scraping against the side of a building, causing a scratch in the bricks.
Oops,
he said.
Sorry, good people of Varenya. I am a dragon. My name is Kevin. I ask that you bring me shiny things.
No one bring him anything, I said.
Don't listen to Sam. He's suffering from weariness from his travels. You should all bring me stuff. I'm not picky. I promise. It just needs to be expensive and shiny and pretty and covered in jewels and...
Kevin, Gary said.
Yes, dear?
If you stop talking, you can have muffin later.
How many muffins?
The full batch. That's code for sex, I said to Morgan. Do not go to their bakery. Morgan covered his eyes with his hand and sighed. We arrived at the castle gates without incident. The castle had never looked more beautiful. I had to stop myself from running full tilt toward it and hugging the stone walls. I didn't think Morgan would appreciate that.
Well, Pete said, grinning widely. Look who's strolling in triumphantly.
Is there any other way to stroll? I asked. If there is, I don't know about it. He pulled me in for a manly hug, patting my back three times.
It's good to have you back, kiddo, he said. It's been awfully quiet while you've been away.
Can't have that, I said. You keep everyone safe while I was gone? He rolled his eyes.
You know me, fending off assassins and darks left and right.
I knew I could count on you, I said with a wink.
Go on, get out of here. We'll catch up later.
He understood. Pete did. He could probably see I was practically vibrating out of my skin. I had most of my family around me, but not the two who'd brought me into this world, and not my king. I needed to see them before I truly felt at peace. I didn't even think about Justin and Ryan then. I didn't care. I just wanted the last pieces of my puzzle put back together. The gates rose at Pete's signal, and even before they'd cleared my chest, I was under them. Not caring about decorum or my place. The knights lined the walkway, standing at attention. Flags rippled in the breeze. The sun shone down from above. Morgan called from behind me, saying my name, telling me to slow down. But I couldn't. I just couldn't, because I could see them waiting for me. My mother was talking with the king, my father standing at her side. The king said something to make her laugh, and I could hear it above all the noise, and was reminded of growing up in the slums, of her little house where she would tend to her flowers and sing gypsy songs in a tongue that sounded of skylarks. There were others there, too, but they were the only three I saw. My father saw me first. One minute, he was smiling faintly as his gaze wandered, and the next it started and cracked as his eyes met mine. I saw his mouth move, and I knew. I just knew he'd said my name in that quiet voice of his because my mother stopped mid-sentence and looked at him, then out at me. And she cried, "Sam!" I ran. I ran because I was home and they were my family. I ran because I hadn't seen them in over 2 months. I ran because I had gone out into the world with hopes and secrets and had returned with nerves exposed and skin twitching. They laughed when they held me. Then we cried. My father's hand went to the back of my head, and my mother's nose brushed my cheek. My father said,
"There you are."
Because he could. And my mother said, "My little boy." Because I was. I didn't want to let them go. And so I didn't. For a time. Then,
"Sam?"
My king. I pulled myself away from my parents and turned to the good king. He wore a quiet smile, one tinged with worry and sadness. I didn't like seeing that on him, so I schooled my face as best I could so he couldn't see the same mirrored in my own. I'd done what he asked of me. I might not have been his wizard, but he was still my friend. I couldn't blame him for anything. He cut my face in his great hands and pulled our foreheads together. He said,
"You have done me a great honor, Sam of Wilds."
I reached up and curled a hand around the back of his neck. "And I would do it again," I whispered. "For you."
"Even after everything?"
"Even then."
"Anything. Anything you want. It's yours."
I shuddered out a laugh. "You don't mean that."
"I do,"
he said.
"Because I know what this has cost you."
I had to ask. I had to. Even though everything told me to just walk away, I had to ask. "Could you make Justin release Ryan from his oath?" My mother made a small, wounded noise, but I couldn't look away from the king. He was obviously pained when he said,
"No, Sam, I could not."
"Then you can't give me what I want." I squeezed the back of his neck and pulled away. He said,
"Sam."
I smiled at him, forcing it to be as bright as possible. I raised my voice. "It is good to be home, especially so much sooner than I expected."
"That may be so,"
a voice said from my right.
"But you sure took your time getting back. Not all of us like to stand around waiting, Sam of Wilds. 'Tis a luxury you can't afford."
I closed my eyes and took a deep breath, because if I didn't, I probably would have tried to curse the Wizard of Wizards.
"No penis noses,"
Morgan muttered, as he walked up with the others in tow.
"Whatever you do, do not turn his nose into a penis."
"No promises," I said, then turned to face the oldest living man in the known world, Randall. Unsurprisingly, he looked old as fuck. His eyebrows were eating his forehead. His nose hairs looked like they were staging an escape, curling out and around his nostrils. His beard was thin and scraggly, yellowed slightly around his mouth. Even his ears had more hair sticking out of them than was actually on his head. He was older than anything else. He was whipcord thin. His liver-spotted hands shook slightly. His eyes were rheumy, sunken into their sockets. And yet the power that emanated from him was undeniable. It dwarfed Morgan's magic, until Morgan could have been nothing but a lowly street magician, swindling onlookers for coin by sleight-of-hand tricks. He was the greatest wizard in history. He'd seen and done things that no other had ever been capable of. And I had once turned his nose into a cock. "Randall," I said, bowing my head in respect. "Your nose looks good." Morgan groaned. Randall narrowed his eyes as he took a step toward me.
"Always with the lip, you are. If Morgan hadn't repeatedly sung your praises over the years, I would have had you up and over my knee a very long time ago."
"Kinky," I said. "Buy me dinner first."
"Sam," Morgan said, "for the love of gods, shut your mouth.
Sorry, I said, lowering my eyes. It's been a long trip. Randall's gnarled hand curled over my shoulder and squeezed. I looked up and was surprised to see the smallest bit of kindness in his eyes. So, naturally, his mouth opened and ruined it.
I don't blame you, boy. If I'd had gotten the shaft from my cornerstone, I'd be pissed off, too. I don't know that I've ever heard of that happening before to any wizard, so you're forgiven for your lack of niceties.
His eyes darted over my shoulder briefly, and his mouth curled into mischief.
But you stink of elf, so it seems as if you've gotten back into the saddle, eh? Good for you.
He chuckled to himself. Elf, came a low growl from behind me. What elf? Well, shit. Oh, damn, Gary breathed. I did not see that coming. I looked back toward the castle entrance. There, only a few feet away, stood Prince Justin of Lox and Knight Commander Ryan Foxhart. Justin looked regal once again, decked out in robes that were undoubtedly more expensive than my entire wardrobe combined. He looked like he would rather be anywhere else than standing here welcoming us home. Ryan, though. Ryan, knighted out completely with his armor, shield attached at his back and sword sheathed at his side, looked furious. His hands were clenched, his shoulders squared and tense. He had dark circles around his eyes, and his skin was pale, as if he hadn't had a good night's sleep since I'd seen him last. His gaze was on me, and I could see the anger in it, which did nothing but piss me off even more, because whatever I did no longer concerned Ryan Foxhart. I looked back at Randall and shrugged. A friend of mine, I said, wanted a taste of magic.
Did he now?
Randall said, ancient lips twitching.
How kind of you to provide him with a taste of your magic.
Are they speaking in code? Mom asked Dad, trying to be quiet but failing miserably.
I don't know, Dad said. I don't speak wizard.
Neither do I. I feel like we failed as parents.
Nah,
Dad said easily.
Look at him. He's adorable and knows how to put on his own pants. We did good.
Those are some astounding qualifications,
Randall said.
Seems about right for you.
I'm so happy you're here, I told him. I promise to try and not make any part of you phallic in nature.
That would be much appreciated. I have a wedding to officiate, after all. Wouldn't want history to repeat itself.
I immediately made plans to turn every visible inch of his skin into penises. It was foolproof, and I would feel better. Therefore, it was a good idea. Wouldn't want that, I repeated. And because Morgan had trained me well, I schooled my face and turned back to my prince, carefully avoiding anything having to do with Ryan. It didn't stop me from feeling his gaze boring into me. I bowed slightly at Justin. I'm glad you made it back safely, my prince. And I hear congratulations are in order. Justin watched me coolly.
Yes. Well, I'm sure the next few weeks will pass rather quickly, what with all the planning. It will be a wedding no one will ever forget.
Rather than tell him that I would probably try and find a way to immediately forget it, I smiled thinly and said, But of course. I'm only pleased I was able to return in time to attend. I would have been devastated to miss the ceremony.
I'm sure, he said. And the gods only know that apparently nothing